Okay, Rabbi, we're up to Perek Mem Aleph Pasuk Lamed. Pasuk Lamed, we are describing the Leviathan. Hashem is describing the greatness of the Leviathan, its enormous strength, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying, according to Mitzudos, that if I've created such a monstrous creature, if this is what I can create, certainly you should be afraid of me. You should not have... Pasuk Lamed, Perek Mem Aleph. I'm sorry, Perek Mem, Pasuk Lamed. Yichru Olav Chaborim, Yechetzuhu Bein Kinaanim. Okay, let's right away take a look at the Mitzudos David. The word is a very hard pasuk. That's one word. I tell the word Yichru, we're going to translate as a meal. We're going to translate that this creature is something which it's a rhetorical question, according to the Mitzudos. Hashem is saying to you, is it possible for a human being to capture the Leviathan? Is it possible for them to eat the Leviathan in a meal? Okay, you go out, you can go swim, you can go fishing, and you can capture some large fish, and you can cut up the fish, and you can have a nice meal with all your friends and relatives. But that's not going to happen when it comes to the Leviathan. Leviathan is a monster. Exactly. The Leviathan will eat you up. They'll have a meal over you. Then there'll be a different story. But a simple interpretation of the pasuk is Yichru Lov Chaborim. Chaborim means a chavura. Okay, chavura with a vase. With a base, it means a wound. And with a vase, without the dot, it means a group. In Lakewood, everyone goes to chaburos. That means they go into boxing matches. Okay, they really mean to say they go to chaburos. Okay, yichru olav chaborim. So chaborim over here means... Well, here indeed it has a dot. So you know, I take it back. You know, it's not. I take it back. Okay, but it says over here. Has a dot inside, so you do see. I take that back what I said, because okay. But yichru here means a meal. Will the chaborim, will the chaverim, the people in the group, will they be able to enjoy a meal from this Leviathan? Yechetzu bein kinaanim. Will they be able? It's a rhetorical question. Will they be able to divide up the meat of the Leviathan among the merchants? We all know the word kinaan. Canaan means a merchant. Eretz Canaan, the reason why it was called Eretz Canaan is because it was a place of trade. It was a place of commerce, a metropolis. It was the ancient location where everyone got together, all the merchants would come together and trade their wares. So here it says, Yechetzu bein Canaanim, will the merchants be able to divide up the Leviathan among themselves? Certainly not, because the Leviathan is mightier than any creature on this world, and the Leviathan will never allow itself to be captured. Let's take a look at the Mitzvot Pasuk Chalad. It's hardly a lot of hard words. Yichru v'chi chayvrei chever. Chayvrei chever means the people. Oh, okay, I already told you. I told you a different interpretation. The chaborim, according to the Mitzvot, means people who are knowledgeable in black magic. Some type of ancient.
A coven of wizards.
So what?
A coven of wizards.
Of wizards, okay, a bunch of. So the chayvrei chaver. Like we mentioned last week, there are different techniques that one can use to capture fish. You can go fishing. Lower. We learned the pasuk last week. You can lower the rope with a hook. You can lower the rope with a hook attached, like what we do, like a simple technique of fishing. You can spread nets. All the different techniques that one can, person can send out, can speak, can send out sound waves. We mentioned that last week. There are all different techniques that one can use to capture fish. Here it's mentioning another technique of black magic. So here, at least according to the tradition of the Mitzudas, v'chi chayvrei chever, those people who are knowledgeable in bringing up the dead, magic, and doing all these type of things with magic, yitzaduhu bikis samim shebiyadam, will they succeed in capturing the fish with their ksum, with their magic, these different types of things that they have in their tricks, they have up their sleeves. The yichru mimenu karo gedola. What does that mean? What does it mean the word yichru? So we said before, it means a meal, and they will enjoy, they will take delight in having a large meal. The yichru mimenu karo gedola usuud chashuva. That's what it means. It means a yichru. If you look over the mitzvah sion on the side, it means inyan suuda kmo karo gedola, like you find in Malachim Beis. I'm not sure what the context of there is, but it means a meal. Oh, im yechatsu lachalokim ben hasaycharim. Will they be able to divide up the meat among the merchants? Asher yiknu miyadam, which will be purchased from the ones the fishermen who capture the fish. And of course not. It's nonsense. This is a rhetorical question. Hashem is saying to Eve, it's impossible for a human being to capture the Leviathan. I have created the Leviathan, and if this is my creature, you can imagine how much greater I am. That, and therefore, you, a human being, should not question my ways. If you have difficulty in understanding HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not physical, it's not something you can relate to, the way at least you can get an appreciation of the greatness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is by looking at His creatures. And being that there are creatures in this world which are beyond your understanding, beyond your tfisa, and those creatures you are afraid of, al achas kam v'kam, how much more you should be afraid of the Creator, the one that created these creatures, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And therefore, the bottom line is always, you should not question Hashem's ways. Hashem knows what is best for you. Let's see Rashi. Rashi has a different interpretation. Yichru olav chavorim, im yichru the yechkemu olav chavorim umechashevim lotzud oso. So yichru means they will dig. Lashon of kira. Okay. What?
Yeah, that ki yichrab bo.
Okay, so this is yichru v'yachkimu olav chavodim umechashvim lotzud oso, to trap it uliotzia min hayom al yidei machashefos, through witchcraft. So yichru does not mean they're going to eat like mitzudos. Yichru means to act in a cunning way. I'm not exactly sure it means to dig. I'm not exactly sure. Oh wait, I have it over here. Wait.
The next word that he has.
Yeah. Yachmu means to be wise, to be cunning, to be cunning. Okay, let me. I have over here this thing. I forgot. Let me see what it says over here. This is Pasuk Lamed. Just curious how they translate it here. And dig. Here he translates it as dig. Okay, we'll dig. Yichru means to dig. Well, they dig pits. Okay, not like the Mitzudas that says it means to eat. In Yichru, they will dig the Yachkimu Olav and become wise, become
it's
cunning.
A way of trapping.
Yeah, seemingly. They're going to do booby traps. Some type of pit. Chavodim umechashvim.
Ways in order to trap.
Lotzud also to capture. Lohitzim in Ayom. Alidei machashefos. Sheyachtsu. And after they'll take it out of the trap, they will divide it among the Yachluku, Bein Tagur, among the merchants. Ki'inyin sho'isim tsayode Ayom. Like is common among people of fishermen. Shetzadin dogim gedolim bichoch mosam, who trap large fish with their wisdom, ubom hatagodim v'koinu mehem, and merchants come and they purchase the fish from the merchant. He actually translates it yichru loshen koire shucha, to dig a pit. Shucha is a pit. It means to dig a pit. Rashi actually translates an interpretation. It means to dig. Ke chavodim, what a chavodim from the pasuk in the Torah, v'choiver chover, people that are involved in communicating with the dead, a certain type of black magic to predict what's going to happen in the future. And the Kananim that we know is Tagorim. That's a very popular word in Tanakh. It means the merchants. Okay, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu is telling Eov, do you think that you're able to go capture this large fish with witchcraft? Cannot be done. And again, we add this to the other techniques mentioned in the previous Pesukim of fishing with string and bait and speaking sound waves, other techniques. It's not going to happen. The creature is beyond your... It's beyond you. And there's a very beautiful medrash, case of Psikta Derav Kahana, in a Nifsachim Beis Parsha Acheres. I don't know what that stands for. Are you familiar with this? Psikta Derav Kahana Nispachim. I guess that's an addendum.
No. Beis. Maybe it's arranged by topic.
Kenisbochim Beis Parsha Acheres. I don't know another parsha. I don't know exactly what that Maramakum is. Okay, but it says over here that this pasuk alludes to La'asal of the times of Mashiach, and the Chaborim we're going to darshan not from a word V'choiver Chover, but rather a chavura, groups of people. And what it means is that throughout the history of Klal Yisrael, there have always been different groups. There are Sfardim, Ashkenazim. Among the Sfardim, there are many different types. Among the Ashkenazim, they're all different types, flavors of Judaism. And when Mashiach comes, Yichru, each group is going to, the Chaborim are going to Yechetzuhu, they're going to divide the reward that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will bestow upon Klal Yisrael in the times of Mashiach. Let me read you the entire thing, it's very interesting. What does it mean? What is this, the Chaborim? Ma Chaborim? So the Medrash says it refers to Chavuros, Chavuros. What does that mean? Yesh Ba'am Yisrael, Bali Mikra, Yesh Bali Mishnah, Yesh Bali Talmud, Yesh Bali Haggadah, Yesh Bali Mitzvahs, Yesh Bali Maisim Toivim, many different types of groups and clouds. So here it's oversimplifying it by referring to Mishnah, Gemara, but obviously today it's a lot more complex than that. There are many different shades and flavors of Judaism. And this Glum goes on to say, Kol Chavuda V'Chavura Bo V'Noitelas Chelka L'Oselav. Each group will come at the time of Mashiach,
yeah,
to
based on their, you know, there are different classes of accomplishment.
Exactly.
So people are rewarded, right, for their accomplishment.
So that's what it says. Yichru, I guess here it means yichru, like what the Mitzudos says is to eat, a su'uda.
Yeah.
It's a su'uda. Everyone's going to take delight, take joy in the reward that will be granted at the end of days. V'shema toimar, you'll say that when Mashiach comes in the machlokes, here's what really hits hard. Right, so it's one thing, okay, we can relate to that. We can relate that today there are some different groups. There are who knows how many groups you want to go divide up among Orthodox Jewry. How many different groups you can break up. Now, is there peace among us?
More than the number of total Orthodox.
There are two Jews in a room, you'll have three opinions. Okay, so you would say now, if you would ask the average person, is there peace, is there shalom among the different groups in Klal Yisrael today?
No.
That's a dangerous question. So what does it mean? So when Mashiach comes, so it says, Shema Toima, you'll say, Yesh B'nei Meriva. When Mashiach comes, Hashem is going to give reward to each individual group that's going to be quarreling. Amar Loi, that's what this pasuk says. It says here, Yechetzuhu Bein Kina'anin. The reward will be divided among the merchants. Why did the pasuk choose to describe Klal Yisrael, all the different groups like merchants? So the answer is, when it comes to business, you get along. I actually just read an article, yes, finishing article about all the different things that are going on in Eretz Yisrael with Egypt, Saudi Arabia. When it comes to money, comes to business, you have a way of working out all of the problems. When it comes to religion, okay, there's no peace. But parnasa, money is money. Money talks. So that's exactly why it's an amazing medrash. The medrash says they will divide their reward just like they were merchants, just like it was business. And the business, we all can get along as we all get a nice piece of the pie. And that's
what it doesn't mean that they'll agree on anything else.
No, but that, though, it's trying to give a marshal that even the religion, that everything will be, it's a marshal, will be as if it will be business, so there will be peace. It's an amazing medrash. Yechetzu ben kinanim, elu haprag mototin. Okay, that's a word for merchants. Halalu, kishayesh lachem evin toy, for example, b'shutaf. Let's say this is a very expensive stone, and they own it, they're all partners in the stone. When they come to divide the money, they split the pot. There's no fighting. If everyone is getting money, what's the fight about? Among all the different religious groups in Klal Yisrael, there will be no quarreling. Everyone will take the reward from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. El kol echad v'echad min atzadikim yovo v'itol scharoi l'fi ma'asof. L'kach nemar, yechet suhu bein kinanim, v'ein kinanim ela pirag mototin, t'chsiv asher seicharecha sarim kin oneho. And that's what the pasuk is telling us. It's not going to be the machlokes us love when it comes to the divine reward that Hashem has in store for us at the time of Mashiach. Okay, I think it's a fascinating insight into Pshat in this pasuk, what it's coming to allude to. Okay, pasuk Lamed Aleph, Hasimalei v'sukos oro. Another rhetorical question. Hashem says to Eve, is it possible for you to conquer the Leviathan and then flay its skin and use its skin for shade? Hasimalei means you'll fill yourself with that make believe. The sin is exchanged for a samach, a sukkah, sukkos oro. You'll take the hide and you'll go use the hide for a shelter. Will you be able to fill yourself up? In other words, the shelter. Hasimalei means to be full. In this context, to shelter yourself with the hide, as with the hide of its skin. Uvit tziltzal dagim rosho. Here's poetic repetition. Tziltzal comes from the word tzel. Tzel, and here it's repeated twice. Tzel is a double dosage, a double layer. Like you have windows today, every modern window today has two panes of glass. So here it's an intensity, it's a very high quality type of shade of the fish, the dogim, rosho, the head of the fish, you'll be able to use its skin to provide shelter. Let's see a more precise translation in the Mitzvah Star, Pasuk Lamed Aleph, Hasimalei, V'yavim Tatsudu, even if you trap it, V'chisichros besakinim es oro, even if you're wise enough to trap the Leviathan into some type of tank, will you be able to cut with knives as oiro its skin? We have shito in the elof to flay it from upon it. Halay oiro kasha admaod. Its skin is extremely thick. The ein lechotchei besakin, and it cannot be cut with a knife. So simale in this context is to cut. That's how the Mitzudos. Okay, that's a very unusual way to use the word, but that's what the Mitzvah Tzion says also. Inin chituch l'charisa kmo yimolel v'yavesh, to cut down and to dry out. Okay, so you'll be able to cut with a knife. It's Hasimalei b'snas sukkos means then this interpretation. Now I told you it means sukkos, the sin, change the sin with the sefer, the word a sukkah. That's not what it says in the Mitzudos. I told you another interpretation. I'll tell you in Rashi in a moment. In the Loshon sakin, v'igam b'sin, v'chein samti sakin b'olo'echa, I will make your cheek into a knife. So here it means also, will you be able, hasimalei, will you be able to cut this sukkos with a knife, oro? Could you do so? Impossible. It's too thick. And the next part of the pasuk, uvit tziltzal dagim rosho, v'chi sashkia es rosho b'chli, can you lower its head? B'chli ha'asui lehashkia boi rosh hadag u'letzodo b'zeh. So he wants to translate the word uvit tziltzal, not shade. I already jumped and told you everything in what it says in Rashi, which will come back in a moment. He learns to lower, to lower down. We had that word not so long ago with the rope. You're going to lower the rope with the bait into the water. So that's how he wants to say it with tziltzal. A utensil, okay? So it's a utensil which you lower. Sorry, you made a mistake. You're right. A utensil which you lower into the water. I'm sorry, you're right. With tziltzal dogim, will you be able to lower that word has to be added into the plastic with a trap, a utensil, to the fish? Rosh, one more time in the words of the Mitzvah, v'chi tashkia es rosho, will you be able to lower its head, b'chli, will you be able to, into a utensil, ha'asui l'hashkia by rosh, which is meant to lower the head of the dog, v'lotsudo v'zen, to trap it with this? The answer is no, it is impossible for you to catch this fish, the Leviathan. Let's take a look at the Apostle Lamed Aleph, the Mitzvah, and the Rashi. Rashi asmalei, im temalei tavoscha v'tases sukos mei oiro. So I already told you interpretation of Rashi. Smalei means, will you be able to fill your desire? What is your desire? To take its hide, its skin, and fashion from it a shelter. Uvitziltzel dogim rosho, v'im tasem e roshoi, will you make from its roshoi tziltzel dogim, kof aloshon? So here's just a repetition. These two parts of psukim basically are repeating itself. What exactly is...
Does he mean the two parts of psukim?
Or the word tziltzel? I'm not sure. Kafeloshon is the word tziltzel. He's engaged. So the word kafeloshon going on the pasuk or going on the word tziltzel, right? So you mean, I don't know the answer. I'm not sure.
He's going.
Yeah, but Rashi repeats himself. Again, this is not necessarily Rashi. This part over here is not. We already said that Rashi came to an end in the parish. Right? Tziltzel. Next words, sukas dogim. It means the shade of the fish. Ulusuko asuimi rosho koryo so suko, a shelter that you make from its head is koire oisa tziltzel dogin. Lefisha asuimi men, it's made from it. Tziltzel, what does this mean? It's am buritz belas. What does that mean? Loshon tselhu, shade. Shade.
I'm going to suggest that it's like the word umbrella.
Buritz. Okay, interesting. Okay, I'm not going to argue. Lashon tselhu v'hu mitevas kifulois kmo yirakrak adamdam. What is in yirakrak? Yorok. Twice. It's very red. Adamdam. Damdam. Very, very red. I said green. I'm sorry, green. It's very green. Yorok. Twice. Repetition. A deep green. Adamdam. A deep red. Double repetition. Basal cell.
Basalto.
What does it mean, basalto?
And how does it mean?
A wick?
No, it means pickle. Doesn't it mean...
I don't remember. Dor ikesh, upasalto. Perverse. Corrupt. Perverse. Twisted. Twisted. Dor ikesh, upasalto. Twisted. Corrupt. What?
Here is very...
Taltalim shocharos, locks, curly hair, twisted. A corrupt generation. Dor ikei shuv esaltol. So it means over here the repetition, the taltal. It's a taltalim. It's nouns. One curve after another. Kaka. Kaka means a tattoo, right? You're not going to make a tattoo. So what's a tattoo? So it's also repetition. It means a mark within a mark. A mark in a mark. A deep mark. A mark which cannot...
Pierces the skin.
Right, pierce the skin. Just have a mark, a ka, that would be a mark, one mark. But it's very deep. It's underneath the skin and cannot be removed. That's called a kaka.
It's a multicolored fish.
No, it doesn't say anything about colors.
Green and red.
It's just saying over that. No, these words are not words for the fish. These are examples of words where we use a syllable. There were syllables repeated twice to emphasize intensity. So here as well, it says it's called tzaltzal, which means that it's hide. It's hide is an extremely good material to use for shade, for shelter. And the point is that it's so good you can't even use it. It's not possible. It's not possible for a human being to capture this fish and to use its skin for shade. So we have over here two. Yeah. Yes, Hashem will do that. Yes, sugas orosh levios. That's exactly the point. Exactly, only Hashem can do these things, and that actually sheds light on what exactly is going to happen. Las lava, because now that we see it, the Sprachel Vier is telling Yehov that it's impossible for you to do these things, and the Sprachel emphasizes this. Now we have a greater appreciation of what's going to happen. The Sprachel, when Mashiach comes, Hashem will do in this world the impossible. Things that are impossible, like on the Shbaruch Hu itself. So you have all the different mishalim of making peace. That's the most impossible thing in this world, to make peace among all the different factions of this world and all other problems. The simple interpretation of the pasuk, according to Rashi and the Mitzvah, this is not Olam Haba. We're dealing here with these monster creatures. The monster creature of Leviathan. The Shmuel is telling you that it's not possible for you to capture this monster creature. It's not possible for you to take it, put it into a trap, and flay its skin and make a sukkah. But since we do know that the Leviathan does allude to this creature, which the Shmuel at the end days will capture, so we appreciate that Hashem, when Mashiach will come, he will be able to do the impossible. So, al derech pshat, these two creatures refer to the hippopotamus and the crocodile. The behemos is the likeness, the dogma of the behemos of Chazal, of Los Olavo, is what Rav Schwab says, many of the commentators write, refers to the hippopotamus. And the Leviathan, the closest thing that we can associate with what it says in these psukim, we're going to see in the next paragraph in the awesome, great, very great detail, is the crocodile. hippopotamus versus the crocodile.
Only a lot bigger.
What?
Only a whole
lot bigger. Well, correct.
And then you think
Stanislaus
are all these animals?
We have two very different interpretations of the Pasuk Lamed Aleph. Mitzudos, will you cut with the knife its skin? Will you be able to lower the head of the fish into a tzilzal, into some type of net, in some type of utensil which contains the head? According to Rashi, will you be able to be hismale, to fulfill your desire by taking its hide and making a sukkah with its hide? Will you be able to take the head of the fish and make for yourself a tzaltzal, to make for yourself shade? Pasuk Lamed Beis, another Pasuk of the Shmar, who says to Eve, how dare you think, who do you think you are? Look at my mighty creature, similar of kapecha. Would you dare any human being be foolish enough to put his hand upon it? Would anyone put their hand on a crocodile? No one would dare start up with a crocodile. Zechor milchama al tosaf. You would never think of, tosaf means to continue, to think about going to war against the crocodile. To even think that it's possible to engage the crocodile in milchama, in war, al tosaf. Would those thoughts not come to an end? Because the crocodile will eat you up. It will eat up the person, will eat up the person's hand. And therefore, this just comes to express the mightiness, the ferociousness of this creature. And if Eve, again, the message always is, if Eve, you are humble in front of this creature, and this is just one of my many creatures that I have created, Alachas kama v'kama, you should humble yourself before HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the creator of this creature, and should not question my ways. Pasuk Lamed Mitzudos David, Sim Olav Kapecha, Dechona, I challenge you, Eve, test now, the Sim Olav Kapecha, and put your hand upon the crocodile, Le'echa is both, to hold on to it, Vehein Yodati, and I am, Hashem says to Eve, I am well aware, Ki lo soisef od liskar milchama lumulo, you will no longer ever think about going to war against this creature. Kimama od yarish lumulach, it will terrify you. When you go and put your hand, it's going to roar against you. The sirad dimenu, you will be terrified from it. The huini melitza, this is an expression, and again, Hashem is just trying to point out, is trying to impress upon him the ferociousness of this creature. Let's see, Rashi pasuk lamed beis, simulav kapecha. Hiskaber la'aruch lefanov, would you ever dare becoming of strengthening yourself to arrange before it war? Shetasim alof kapecha lahakoiso, would you ever dare take your hand and bang your hand on its head, on the head of this creature? Zechor milchama al tosaf, I guarantee you're never going to think about doing such a thing again. The al tosaf zechor givuroscha, you'll never ever remember your might to wage war against this creature. Now Rashi just points out some type of, what is the word toisaf? Toisaf means the word to continue. Like we have by the by Har Sinai, Kol Godol Velo Yosaf. It was a great voice, a great sound, which did not come to an end. Velo Yosaf. It did not come to an end. Here it means alto saf. I guarantee that it will come to an end. There it was low. Here it says al.
He says to regret in French.
To regret?
Regret.
Wait, which word? Oh, that's the word, tosaf. Okay. Okay, abmin yosaf, it means, but simply means, we have by Har Sinai, Kol Godol Velo Yosaf. It does not come to an end. Here it means it will come to an end. It will come to an end. Min Yosaf Kimo Velo Yosaf Od Ledato. Another example. Velo Yosaf Od Ledato. Yehuda did not no longer continue to know Tamar.
Right.
So he's meaning it comes to an end. So I guarantee it's a rhetorical question. Will it not come to an end? Will it not come to an end your desire to wage war against the Leviathan? Uvilaz, you're telling him means regret. Now you're just coming to point out there's a grammatical curiosity here. Why does it say Toisaf? Should it not say Toisof? It's a Soif Pasuk. Or should it not say Tosif? I think what he means to say, it should say Tosif. Al Tosif. Velo Yosaf. It says by Kol Gadol Velo Yosaf. There it says Yosaf. But L'chayra, what does it say by Yehuda? It says by Yehuda, it says V'al Tosif. What did it say by Yehuda again? It said by Yehuda v'lo Yosaf od ledato. So Yosaf the patach. Okay, but he's pointing over here that l'chora. I don't know, but l'chora, the form of the word is not correct. It should not over here be Yosaf. It should really be Yosif. I think with a chirik. Yosif l'ledat chirik. So he says al Yosaf samach nif tachas. We have here a patach, and underneath the samach in this pasuk, why b'nei soif pasuk. Since this is the end of the pasuk, so what would normally be in the middle of the pasuk of Yosef turns into Yosaf, just like many words which have a patach. Well, that's the primary use of the word when it comes to the soif pasuk. It turns into a komatz, Mitzrayim, Mitzroyim, Ephraim, Ephroyim. When it's a soif pasuk, many times the patach turns into a komatz. Likewise, when you have a chirik on a word. Well, that's another issue. Why it sometimes says Mitzrayim, one time Mitzrayim. But when you have a word whose primary use is a chirik, and now we have a soif pasuk, the soif pasuk turns into a patach, and that's why here it says soy saf.
And it doesn't explain why Yosef owed the dot.
Right, there it's not an end of the pasuk. I don't know the answer. I don't know. Al toisaf samach nif tachas b'nei soif pasuk kino al toisar v'soisar v'chein harbe komo. There are many different examples like this. Okay, so that concludes Perek Mem Aleph. Now the Rav Schwab says there's seemingly no reason why the Perek should stop here, because we continue to describe in very great detail the characteristics of the and the details of the Leviathan through Perek Mem Aleph. Maybe just at some point in time you have to how many pesukim so you have to have a break. However, I did see in Rabbi Eisenman, he says there is a change in theme in Perek Mem Aleph that HaKadosh Baruch Hu now speaks to him in second person. In the first in these, until now, Kadosh Baruch Hu was speaking directly. Would you do this? Would you do this? Now, Kadosh Baruch Hu changes the tone, and the tone is Kadosh Baruch Hu was asking Eiv, so to speak, to join him. Instead of speaking directly in first person to Eiv, Kadosh Baruch Hu was saying to Eiv, "You, would you do this?" Kadosh Baruch Hu now says it's more gentle. And Hashem says, we'll see the psukim, it's in second person, it's not in first person. Let's take a look. Pasuk Aleph. Hein techalto nichzava gam el marov yutol. Behold, techalto nichzava, we have to read some of the words backwards. Nichzava means a lie. Kazav is a lie. Techalto means your hope. Your hope would lie, meaning you would melt, you would give up. A person has hope to accomplish certain things. And then when he realizes that the task in front of him is too great, he loses hope. So it's described as being the hope has lied to him. He entered into a situation assuming he could accomplish something. What gave him that energy, that will, belief that he could accomplish? Hope. And it turns out, false hope. So exactly what it says. Hein techalto nichzava, your hope has become false. Meaning the hope that you had of conquering the Leviathan has become false. Hagam el marov yutol, just by looking at the Leviathan, yutol comes from the word you put down. Your spirit has been shattered. You become humbled in its presence. Let's take a look at a more precise translation of Mitzudas Aleph. Hein techalto hinei. Tikvas hanilcham in do, the hope of the person that does war with the Leviathan, who stands opposite it, lies and becomes false bow. Ki tikvaso nevada, the hope has been lost. The hope of overcoming the Leviathan has been shattered when you attempt to battle due to its ferocity. Hagam, yes. Now when the word hagam here is a rhetorical question. Hagam, well, I shouldn't say it's a rhetorical question. Hagam, let's see what it says. Yesh tamio shen kayamos. There are tamios, there are questions which shen kayamos, which exist, which are not meant to receive an answer. So it's a rhetorical question. I think so. I think what he means over here is what we call a rhetorical question.
No, it's not really. A rhetorical question means I'm going to answer it. I ask it and I'm answering it. This is a question that doesn't have an answer.
Doesn't have an answer. But isn't a rhetorical question a question of an answer either?
No, a rhetorical question means I ask the question and I expect to answer it myself. I don't expect you to answer.
I don't expect you to answer.
Right.
But there is an answer. Okay. So this is a question which has no answer. It's a different concept. Yesh tmiyos shen kayamos v'chein v'im sar habas tishim shana teileid. Sarah said to herself, Avram said about Sarah, is it really possible? My wife, who's 90 years old, will give birth to a child. V'ratzel lemar, hinei gam el maris ponav yushlach ha'odam me'amoid negdo. Just at looking at the ferocity of this creature, a person is terrified from standing in its presence. Ki imosu rabba, it's a terrifying creature. How then can a person battle? And this question remains forever. There is no answer. It cannot be done. That's basically the answer. There is no answer, but it cannot be done. So here the pasuk means the word. By the way, what does it mean exactly? Yutol. Look in the Mitzudos Tzion. Yushlach, to be cast down. So the pasuk again, this entirety reads: Hein techalto nichzav. The person tries to battle against the Leviathan. His hope, is false. It's a mistaken belief, a mistaken hope he can succeed. Hagam el marav yutol. Is it not true that when he just looks at it, yutol, he will be cast down? He'll be humbled and not be able to. And not,
the word for missile is tilim.
Yeah.
Send them.
And it comes down. Tilim, it comes, Lashon of Tal, very good. And it shoots downward. Okay, pause, let's see Rashi. Rashi, pause the Galaf. Hein techalta in nechzava, hein im. Techalta in nechzava, behold, im techalta in nechzava, shlo yehe bay koech li lochem velozos mimukoimo. So Rashi seems to say something different. Im techalta in nechzava, a person's hope is false. Shalo yehe by koyach lilochem, a person does not have the power to battle velozus mimukoymoi and to move from its place. So I guess that means the person is defeated. If a person will come in contact with the Leviathan, he will be defeated. He will not be able to escape its clutches.
Frozen in fear.
Hagam el mar of yutol. Im gam el mar is pun of yutol the yushlach odom lambo lefonov. Listak el bo mibnei imoso. Is it not so that a person will be terrified to stand and gaze at this creature due to the intense terror? Is it not true? He'll be cast down. He pasuk beis lo achzar ki yuranu. No, Mitzudas translates achzar from the word cruel. No person would be cruel to himself. Every person naturally has rachmanis upon his own self. No one has a natural tendency to commit suicide. And even if a person wants to commit suicide, no one's going to commit suicide in a way that involves torture. People who commit suicide, they do it in a way that is the least torture possible. So no one would be cruel to himself that ki yu'renu would arouse the Leviathan. No one's going to wake up a ferocious lion. No one's going to wake up the crocodile to arouse it. Umihu lefonai yisyatzav. And now HaKadosh Baruch Hu finishes off the Musar. Hashem then stiffer. He's winding down. And it's not only winding down because we go on for the rest of the parak describing in detail the Leviathan, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu here is giving a message to Yehov in the middle. If you're so terrified of the Leviathan, and the Leviathan is only one of my creatures, al achas kama v'kama, how terrified you should be in my presence. Let's take a look at the mitzvah. That's the end of the pasuk. Mihu lefonai. Who, what human being can then stand in my presence? If a human being cannot stand in the presence of the Leviathan, and no human being would be so cruel to himself to arouse the Leviathan, certainly no human being should be foolish to arouse my anger and do things which would cause me to get upset. A person should not provoke Hashem by doing sins. If you would not be foolish enough to provoke the Leviathan, certainly learn, use the Leviathan Kal Vachomer, not to get Hashem angry through your sins. Pasuk Beis in the Mitzudos, David, Lo Yachzar, Lo Yimsa, it cannot be found in this world, Misha, Yeh, Achzar, Alatzim, a person that will be cruel to himself, La'amoid, La'achor, Besor, to eat up his flesh, La'achor, means to consume his flesh, la'achor b'saro, she'yoyer imo milchama, to arouse the Leviathan to war, ki halo yoyver atzmoy ledas, that would be suicide. Umihu, now here the Mitzudas follows through, it's a very important part of this parak. If no human being would stand opposite the Leviathan, who then dare stand before me? Limchois ma biyadi, to protest my actions. This is referring back to what Hashem said in the previous parakim. Im hayisa tzadik be'emes kasher yo'os. If you are really a tzadik like yo'os, like you want to be a tzadik. Hayisi mishal nucha gemul.
Yo'os or maybe yo'avto.
Kasher yo'av. Yes, what means kasher yo'avto. Hayisi mishalim l'cho gemol ki ein miyimche biyadi, I would have paid you your reward. I would repay you. I am just. If it's really true that you're a tzaddik, like you have to, like you want to be, there's nothing holding me back from giving you reward. No one can hold me back. If you're afraid of the Leviathan, you should be afraid of me, realizing that there's nothing that I cannot do in this world, and I can certainly pay you reward. The fact that I have not paid you reward means that there are problems which you don't understand. There are things that you do not understand. And that leads into the next pasuk, which is a very powerful pasuk. But before let's see the Mitzud Rashi. Rashi says, Mi loy achsar ki yurenu. Ein achsar gibor v'oritz asher ya'arenu mishanasu. Now I'm assuming the word achsar here means cool as well. I'm not exactly sure if Rashi has a different translation of the word achsar. Similarly, achsar means no person would be cruel to a gibor, and an oritz would not be cruel to himself, like what the Mitzudah says, asher ya'arenu mishanasu, that would awaken the sleep of the crocodile, of the Leviathan, the oirirenu mimukamo lahakimo, would arouse from its place to cause it to stand up, because by doing so he would be killed. Umihu asher yisatzev yamo lefonai asher ani oise eskol ela. I, therefore, if you're afraid of the crocodile, al achas kam v'kama, you should be afraid of me, because I created all of these creatures. And now we come to the Pasuk Gimel. Pasuk Gimel, according to the Mitzvah, flows in from the Pasuk Beis. Pasuk Gimel is a very, very popular Pasuk. It appears in many of the Svarim of the Balei Musa. They quote this Pasuk very often. Mi hikdimani v'ashalem. Has there ever been a creature in this world that has come before me, and then va'ashlem, I would reward him. Tachas kol ha'shamayim lihu, can't be such thing, because I have created the entire heaven. But let's see them. So basically, we'll see in more detail. But basic idea is that the way the world works is first HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives man blessing, and then man reciprocates. Hashem gives a person a bayis, then a person puts up a mezuzah. Hashem gives you a bayis, you then put up a maika. Hashem gives you parnasa, then you give tzedakah. Hashem gives you children, then you do bris milah, then you do pinyan haben, then you raise them for Torah. The order is always Hashem comes first, he gives man bracha, and then man reciprocates by giving back some of what Hashem has given. Man gives back, dedicates it towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It never happened that a person invested, first gave to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, gave tzedakah before HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave parnasa. Never happened such a thing. So therefore, Eiv, why? Because Hashem is the one who created this world. So this is the Musa HaKadosh Baruch Hu is giving Eiv, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu always gives you more than what you deserve. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu is giving the person that's not yet paid his dues, Hashem always makes an investment in us rather than us making an investment in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and therefore this is the Musar Hashem is giving to Eve. Don't be so quick to challenge me and tell me that I'm not honest in business, that I have given you a raw deal, I've caused you to suffer. It's not true, Eve. I've given you more than what you've given me. Okay, well, let's take a look in more detail how we read this into the Pasuk. Pasuk Gimel Mi Higdimani Ratzalaymar Af ki eini asher hikdim lasot tzedek ad lo gimaltiv atayva. Also, it has never happened that a person has proceeded to do tzedek, to do good things to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, before HaKadosh Baruch Hu has bestowed upon him goodness. Ki mi asa mezuzah lepisol. Have you ever found a person that first went to the sofer and ordered mezuzos before he spoke to the contractor, to the architect? Okay, it means more than that. But even on that level, forget about it. Have you ever heard such a thing? Person wants to go build a $3 million house, and before he goes to the architect, he makes a cheshbon. We're going to have probably at least 15 mezuzahs in this house. So I'm first going to go to the cipher. I'm first going to order the mezuzahs. And then we'll go from there to the architect, and we'll figure out what the house will look like, and what color the tiles will be, if we should have marble tiles in the bathroom, should we have ceramic tiles, no, porcelain just tiles?
Just a point of interest.
The dining room then, what?
In our shul,
yeah,
in England, in Manchester, it's a very big shul. So they wanted to redecorate the whole shul. What you're talking about. So they didn't know exactly how the colour scheme would end up, how we would really look. So what did they? They appointed an architect to come and make a drawing of the whole shul, and he painted the walls according to what he thought would be the best suited to the shul.
Okay.
And that's how they did. So eventually, what did he do with the picture when it was made? They hung the picture in the vestibule of the shul. So my father was secretary of the shul. When I used to go to Mincha Maariv, so he held on a bit more in the office to finish some work. So I would stand outside with a pencil and a ruler, and I made an exact copy, the same size of the whole shul, right down to the color scheme.
So you bring it, show it to us. Bring it in. Bring it in. I want to see it. He brought you. You have the parsha of the Keteres. If that's what you can do for the Keteres, I can imagine what you can do for the shul.
Artist rendering of.
Yeah, of course. But this is probably before the time of computer, all the technology that's available today. Okay, but the point over here is, you never heard such a person that first makes the mezuzah, or first can write the mezuzah before I build the bias. No such, no one ever went and first hired the moil.
It makes more sense to do the mezuzah before you build the house, because if you have shloshim yam to put it in, it takes time to write all those mezuzahs. So you really want to have the mezuzahs ready so that you can put it in?
Okay, but no one ever did it.
Every door, right? Not clear. You need it on every single door. You need it on every door.
Let's say you need 50 mezuzahs. You don't get 50 mezuzahs overnight.
You don't need 50 mezuzahs for a house.
Unless you're dedicated 27.
It depends where you live.
Unless you're dedicated 2701 for God knows how many thousand.
Okay, so this is.
It's a brochure, it's a code book.
Bring it in, I want to see it. Do you have it? Do you have it? Okay. It's a very powerful muscle because we live with the mentality is that we don't go out of our way. Let's say a person has a bracha, HaKadosh Baruch gives you a bonus, you win the lottery, or something good happens. So a person feels guilty, you have to go and daven a little better. A person has a bracha, he has a new grandchild, he has a new child, he has a new this, he has a new that. You feel a certain guilt, you have to be makir tov HaKadosh Baruch for what he's given you. But until it happens, I don't have any guilt. I don't owe God anything. I'll live my life the way I want. When you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, will give me, if I want, I'll be mispalel for it. And then when you'll give it to me, then I'll be good to you. That's the way we think. But over here, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is telling, is that really right? Is that really the way you should think? You should go that it's a one-way street. That only after I give you a bracha, that's when now you feel a sense of appreciation. Why don't you feel a sense of appreciation before I give you bracha?
You never know. He can do something bad to you that turns out to be good.
So you know exactly. So you should have faith, blind faith in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and you should show a degree of appreciation even before anything happens to you. So this is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu here is complaining to you. Mi hikdi mani v'asham. Did it ever happen to a person first gave me my reward and then I gave them? Did a person first was makdim to first write the mezuzah and then I gave him the money to build a house? Hashem, never happened. I never saw someone do something like this. And the Medrash says there was one person that did this. Who was the one person that did this? That was makdim HaKadosh Baruch Hu? David HaMelech. David HaMelech, he prepared the blueprints for the Beis HaMikdash. He made all the preparations for the Beis HaMikdash before it was built. And we read what it says. This is in Medrash Tehillim, Mizmor Lamed, Mizmor Shir Chanukas, Habayis LeDavid. David Choshav Livnois is Beis HaMikdash. Okay, David already had plans. He was planning to go build, and David already said, who said Mizmor Shir Chanukah Sabayis LeDavid? David said it. But the Midrash wasn't built. David already said Shira to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the Beis HaMikdash before the Beis HaMikdash was built. Because in David's mind, it's already Kilo HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us the Beis HaMikdash.
The Havdil, if we see a fire station,
yeah,
we don't say thank you. We wait till there's a fire.
Oh.
When we have a war, we thank the soldiers after they mark of themselves. But before the war, if they're going, taking people to the army, you yell, make hafganas, you know. But you say thank you because you, who knows what will be next week.
That's also the most.
Ayin hara, like a woman won't go out and prepare things for a forthcoming baby. I mean, that's
okay, that's different. That, those things that she's preparing are for herself. She's not preparing the HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But those things that they're preparing are for themselves. What? To go buy a crib, to go buy clothing and toys in advance. Those are not things for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Those are things that they're doing for themselves.
Sears used to do, if you bought an outfit for the baby and you had twins, they would give you the next segment.
That was before sonograms. No such thing as that today, that's for sure. Okay. Okay, let's take a look over here. We'll get one more time. The words of the Mitzvah.
In Italy, they made a mistake and they gave a in the hospital, they gave a woman an egg. She came, there were two women came and they gave the wrong egg to the lady. And the court ruled that the babies are hers and the other parents have no right to approach it.
These horror stories.
It's an eggy story.
It's not so simple. They have mashkichim in Eretz Yisrael. In all this, what is it called?
IVF.
So in Eretz Yisrael, there are a lot of places they won't have mashkich tmidi. Mashkiach Tamidi to make sure there's no hanky panky. Who knows? Over here in America, you really know what's going on.
Yeah, a woman had a black and a white kid at the same time.
Right. So they're very nervous about these things. So in some places they insist that you should have a Mashkiach Tamidi to make sure. Shalom Amzeris, all different. There are different opinions. Not muchach, but there are different halachic issues. Okay, let's take a look over here one more time with the Pasuk Gimel. Me hikti mani ratzlemer af im. Afki, certainly, ain me asher hiktim lasois tzedek ad lo gimal tiv tov, a person that did tzedek with me before I was kind and bestowed upon him bracha. Ki me also mezuzah lepischo. Hashem says to Eve, show me a person that already made the mezuzah lepischo ad lo inasati lebayis before he built his house. V'chein hakol, he's referring to a medrash. A medrash has many, maybe I'll read you some of the examples, many different examples. V'chein hakol. Since this is so, Olu Tov, since I have no obligation to do good for a person, even though I have no obligation because no one ever went and paid in advance. Hashem says, I get a raw deal all the time. No one ever paid me in advance. I always have to lay out the goods before I get my compensation. Mikol Makoim, Ashalem Od Gmul B'chasti, it doesn't bother me, Hashem says. I'm always willing to lay out the money, to lay out the bracha, the ein miyimcha biyadi, ki kol asher tachas, and no one can protest against my conduct, against my ways, ki kol asher tachas, kol ashvaim shelihu, because I own this world, this is my world, Hashem ha'aretz umaloa, v'chulam nichnam olai, all creatures are humble before me. What is the pasuk? The deeper meaning of the pasuk. What's the message here? Hine gam l'chol ha'yisi meishiv gemul im ha'yisa tzadik gomor b'shleim usrath. Eev, don't complain. If you are really a true tzaddik, you would have got your reward. The fact that you suffer, Hashem is speaking, Hashem is saying the same thing what a friend said to him, basically, according to this interpretation, you're not a tzaddik gomor. You have problems. You have problems, you're not a tzaddik gomor, and therefore, if you're not getting, you're not getting your reward, that means there's something wrong.
You didn't say thank you in the beginning? I mean, it doesn't say that it is. Because Hashem said to the Malachim, look at this big tzaddik, so obviously, maybe he was thanking Hashem already.
But he was staying after the fact. He was definitely a tzaddik. It says here that he was definitely a tzaddik. There's no question about it. It's a Tam Yosha, Yireh Elokim, Sur Meira, all these brachot. It says more about either than it says about Avraham Avinu. But yet over here, the friend said to him that you're not a tzaddik. Over here, according to the Mitzvot, Hashem is saying the same exact thing. The difference is, Hashem can say this. The friends can't say this. The friends have no right to tell a person that you're a Rasha. That's where they're criticized. They're going to be criticized at the end of the Sefer. But Hashem over here is telling Eve, at least in this interpretation, everything over here is subject to interpretation. The Mitzvot seems pretty clear to say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is telling you that you're not a tzaddik. Now let's see over here Rashi. Rashi also says the same idea. Umi hikti pasuk gimel, mi hikti mani, mi hu asher hiktim ponai be hakab loso la avdani, belishmor mitzvosai, vashalim lo sechoroi. Is there any person that was makdim ponai be hak balto la avdani? The Lishmar Mitzvosai, same thing, similarly saying the same idea as the Mitzudos, as the Medrash, was there ever a person that came first, was marked in my presence to serve me, to do good things for me, and then afterwards I paid him his reward. Never happened. The way it always works is Hashem first gives, and then a person pays cash on delivery. It's always COD. That's the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu allows the world to exist. And therefore HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I'm in the upper position. I have always done kindness. And being that I've always done kindness, certainly I would not deny from you what you deserve. That's simply the message. If I'm kind to man, al achas kam v'kama, I'm just. I do tzedek. If you really deserve reward, you would get your reward. If you're not getting your reward, it must be you don't deserve the reward. And don't say that I'm not just, because if I'm not just, then I wouldn't be so gracious to operate in such a way where I'm always giving before I receive. That's the proof that indeed I am just. Kol hashamayim lihu, kol asher bashamayim lihu, uviyodai lifroya lo schoro upuloso avdo. I own the entire world. It's in my hand to give reward and punishment. To give reward, I'm not exactly sure what this means. Ufulasa, person's deeds. Umeavdoi, I think this means person's. Avadov, servants. Umeavadov,
accomplishments.
Umeavadov. Things that he has done. Okay, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one that can always provide.
This is Rashi, right?
Rashi, yeah.
No, he said this is not Rashi. We learned last week that from now on it's not Rashi.
Okay, we're still quoting. Okay, we're still on my page. It still says Rashi. You know what I mean? Okay. Let me just tell you some of the other examples. Just interesting examples. I'll tell you a few examples. That's more difficult. The person does the bris milah, it's not even shaykh. Bishlam it's shaykh to buy the tzitzis and to buy tefillin and to buy to buy tzitz before you have a beget, to buy the mezuzahs before you build a bias. But it's not clear what is meant that a person did a bris milah before the child was born. What? There's no child that's not shaykh. Someone told me, what? A little difficult. Like someone told me a joke. I told him one of my cousins, he's a ger chassid. His wife is a ger chassidim, so they everyone that has a baby in his community married to Shul, the moyel is, the sandik is the ger rabba. So the ger chassidim married to Shul is a very, very big place. A lot. So they have at least, and he told me on average, at least 3 bris milas a day. At least 3 a day.
You have to bring the baby together.
Of course, you got to bring the gear. And the gabbai, they're very, very on schedule. You have to go to the gabbai, you have to make an appointment in advance, because the Rebbe is not going to go every day to 3 bris. I mean, the baby has to be brought, and the bris takes exactly, I think you told me, 7 minutes. The bris exactly, and they give you a slot. They tell you, you have to be there at 8:07. You are coming at 8:14. And if you're not there, in Geras, he said, we wait for no one, not even the baby. The moil is there, the moil is going to cut. The baby's not there, too bad for the baby.
The Amshav is just the opposite. I was at a bris with Amshav, Rev was there, he waited an hour after he was there till he came up and made the brachas.
Oh, yeah. So, this is what it says. Was there anyone who did the bris milah without the baby? Yeah, go to Ger. They do the bris milah without the baby. Okay, mi also milav lo nasati lo ani lo nasati lo ani koydim aben mi also tzitzis lo nasati lo ani koydim atalis. Okay, that could make sense. Every person go first by the tzitzis and then by the talis. Mi also makel legagoi. Do you ever make a makel for your roof? Lo nasati lo ani koydim bayis. Okay, mi choshav belibo lasoyz mitzvah venenas veloy asa. Did a person ever do a mitzvah venenas veloy asa shani mali alav kilu asa? So I say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu even gives a person credit. A person wants to do a mitzvah and he doesn't fulfill it. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives you credit as if you did a mitzvah. And this we're talking to David. David HaMelech, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he was different. David HaMelech was the one that did plan to build the Beis HaMikdash. And even though David was not able to build the Beis HaMikdash, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him credit as if he built the Beis HaMikdash. Okay, the other examples, we'll go to a little bit more. That's the Medrash Tehillim Mizmor Lamed. Okay, up the Pasuk Dalid. Okay, so we'll stop over here.